Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallo, hier ist Mona und ich hatte mal wieder einen kleinen Fangirl-Moment, denn ich durfte Kat Burns interviewen, deren Musik ich sehr, sehr liebe. Vor allem ihr wahnsinnig gutes Songwriting. Kat Burns kennt ihr übrigens von dem Song hier. When you say something's wrong, I just wanna make it better. People Pleaser ist das. Unglaublich geiles Teil. Läuft bei uns rauf und runter im Radio. Und wir haben wirklich über alles gequatscht. Zum Beispiel darüber, wie sie es auf die gleiche Schule geschafft hat, auf der auch Amy Winehouse oder Adele waren. Und wir haben vor allen Dingen darüber gesprochen, wie sie es von dieser Schule über TikTok zu einem Feature mit Sam Smith und dann auf die großen Bühnen dieser Welt als Voract von Ed Sheeran geschafft hat. All das und noch ganz viel mehr gibt's jetzt in diesem Podcast. Ich freue mich, wenn er mal reinhört.
Welcome, Kat Burns. So nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm also good. A little tired. It's really early in the morning.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Kat, I have to fangirl a little because I really love your music. Thank you. Know, I'm just like you. Think a lyric listener.
Yeah.
Like just a line, and then I'm like, oh, I love this song.
Oh my God.
And your songwriting is, for me, like really one of the best. I really, really love it.
Thank you.
We get to that later on, maybe. Let's first talk about all the first time that you have right now, like a lot of first times. The first time in the charts.
Yep.
The first time performing in Graham Norton,
yep.
Which I love. The first, like, being nominated and performing at the Brit Awards.
Yep.
Congratulations, first of all, on that.
Thank you.
Can you, thank you. Can you, like, digest this all?
No, it's a lot to think about. Like, I just never expected everything that's happened to happen so quickly. It's just been, like, a very crazy year of just amazing opportunities and experiences, and I'm just so grateful.
Mm-hmm. Although you came a long way, we will also maybe get to that later on. Mm-hmm. What did you do when you got the call, being nominated for the Brit Awards and then became, like, performing?
I actually got a text from my manager. He's a very, like, chilled, calm man. So he was just like, "You've been nominated for 2 more Brit Awards," and I was like, "What?" And he was like, "You've been nominated." And I was like, "Sorry, let's just, like, take a second here. What?" And then he was like, "Yeah, it's exciting." And I'm like, "Yes, it is exciting. Like, be excited." And he just shows excitement in that way. And I was just like, "What?" And then I ran and told my mom. And then my mom was just like, "Oh my gosh." And then my sister was like, "Oh my gosh." So it was really good.
So lovely. Was this, like, your favorite first time during the last period of time concerning music? What was your favorite first time lately?
I think my favorite was probably when my song first got in the charts. I think that was, like, crazy, especially when it got into, like, the top 10 in the UK. I was just like, whoa, how has this happened? And then when it kept, like, every week, it kept going, like, closer and closer. I was literally like, whoa, this is all a bit crazy. And then when it got to number 2, I was just, like, shocked.
Mm-hmm. Did you, like, check it all the time, like, refresh, refresh, refresh?
Yeah, there's like a thing in the UK, like, called the midweeks. Mm-hmm. So you find out, like, maybe on a Sunday or a Monday what the next week charts are looking like. So I would just, like, look and see if I had, like, moved up at all. It was bad. I kept looking, like, all the time. I needed to stop.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine. Is it also your first time in Germany and in Berlin?
It is my first time in Berlin, yes.
Ooh, exciting.
Yes, it is my first time. I was with Ed Sheeran on his tour in Europe, and we went to Gelsenkirchen and Munich and Frankfurt.
Okay, yeah. all the good cities in Germany. How do you like Berlin? Did you get the chance to see a little, or is it really?
I haven't had the chance yet, but I think I will be able to today. So I'm quite excited. I'm excited to go to, like, the vintage stores.
Oh yes, we've got, like, a few really, really good vintage stores.
Okay.
You're here because of the first, also, like, really big German radio tour.
Mm-hmm.
Did you count the interviews that you're filming, actually, like, a little vlog? How much, like, material,
like,
do you have?
There's 28 radio stations that we're going to. I think we've done, like, 23. We've done about 20 or so.
Wow, crazy. And, like, 3 hours of filming material, and then you have to cut it.
I've cut it down to about 2 minutes.
Ooh, wow.
I've managed to cut it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And I also saw like in your Instagram story that you wrote like, they drive so fast here in Germany.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I didn't realize that like on the motorway, there's like some bits where there's just no speed limit. I was just like, what is happening?
Am I on a plane? Am I like, are we flying?
I was just like, oh my gosh.
Any other strange habits that you picked up from us, from Germans, from the Germans?
No, actually. I think in like other Western countries, they make out that like Germans aren't that friendly, but you guys are all really friendly.
Oh, good.
And you guys have really like your language is very actually quite gentle.
Really?
But like I think in like TV shows and like other shows that we have in like the UK, mm-hmm. it just makes it sound like it's like really harsh, but it doesn't sound harsh. It sounds quite
really?
Gentle to me.
Yeah. I think you're the first person to say that because like really always the people say like it sounds like are you fighting or is
really?
It like normal
I just, talking? I just think it's quite nice.
Good. Yeah. Oh, well, we take that as a compliment. That's nice. Also, congratulations. That's why you're here on People Pleaser. It's doing so great over here. How could it not do mm-hmm. great over here? Have you heard it on German radio?
I haven't yet.
No way.
I haven't heard it yet. I know.
So many hours in the car.
I
like
know.
Sipping through the program.
And I haven't heard it yet. But this happens a lot to me. Like even in the UK, like people will send me videos and be like, oh my gosh, your song's been played on the radio. And I'm like, I think I've heard it twice. On the radio, it just never. I'm just my luck. I just never hear it. So I'm like, is it actually being played on it?
Oh.
But yeah,
it's like a True Man show. Am I like? Am I?
I'm like,
real?
Is this actually real?
Yeah. So we at least play it two times in our show, right? So.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's nice. We talked about your songwriting, and I love. That's why I love so much about your music, and you're saying you learned it from such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
How did you like come up with those kind of lyrics that are so like directly that like really open, really vulnerable?
I think I just always want to like make honest and like vulnerable and relatable songs. So instead of like sugarcoating it, I'll just say it. And try and find the best way of saying it that still sounds nice to hear, but also like I don't know. I think I'm not like a massive like metaphor mm-hmm. type of like writer. I think maybe because I'm like dyslexic, so I never really understood that when I was younger. I just understand like direct, blunt, mm-hmm. to the point kind of lyrics, which is what I really like. So with my songs, I'm just going to go mm-hmm. straight to the point rather mm-hmm. than like trying to say it in like a really like cool way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what I love so much about it, because then it also hits you like really straight
yes.
into your heart.
Exactly.
And that's what I really love. Have you always been like that? Also like privately talking, like always an honest person?
Yes, I like to think so. I mean, being a people pleaser means like
yeah.
you kind of keep like how you're feeling or if someone's upset you or things like that to yourself, which I'm working on not doing. But like in my general life, I like to think I'm honest. And sometimes I withhold information.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
yeah.
usually because I think it would help the other person.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, could you already unlearn being a people pleaser? Because you said you learned it from such a young age and you hate being this way. You say
yeah.
it so.
I think you can unlearn it. Like I have therapy every week and we like talk about how I can like talk to myself whilst I'm in the situations. So like if I'm telling somebody like, hey, like when you did this like upset me quite a bit, I have to like speak to myself in my head and be like, it's okay, it's fine, mm-hmm. you're safe. Their feelings are not your responsibility. It's okay. So I'm learning how to kind of, I guess it's self-soothing myself mm-hmm. in those mm-hmm. moments.
Is therapy or yeah, whatever you, or one way call it, a big like help for you to express and write those feelings?
Absolutely.
In general?
I think therapy has been like my saving grace, really, because mm-hmm. it's just having like dedicated time every week to like to just speak to somebody who's like essentially paid to listen to you mm-hmm. And help you like learn about yourself. And I think as I learn more things about myself, it just helps me become a better writer mm-hmm. because I understand more about why people do things the way that they do, and then I can like write about it a little bit more. So I found therapy so helpful when it comes to like understanding myself and other people, and then how I can like put that into my music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially on like your latest EP, Emotionally Unavailable, I think mm-hmm. you can really, really hear it. You can also really hear the progress you did. And it's so reflective. And that's, I think that's like a person that like kind of, is in therapy or was or whatever. Yes. Or just, absolutely. You can really hear it. I love it. But let's go back from here to your Kickstarter, your single Go, going mm-hmm. viral a few years after you wrote it, actually. It was used in so many TikTok videos. When was the first time that you realized, ooh, something is happening here?
I think it was probably the end of 2021. A group of like 15 to 17-year-olds found my song. Mm-hmm. Started making videos to it, but at the time it became like a little micro trend, so it was like maybe 1,000 more videos or 2,000 more videos were made to it, but I noticed that was like spiking my streams, so mm-hmm. my streams were kind of mm-hmm. going up, and I was like, whoa, what's happening here? And then the new year came, so beginning of 2022 came, and it just like kept going up, like the streams weren't going down, it was just going up and up and up and up, and I was like, what is happening? And then I just sang like a little like acoustic version of it on TikTok, and then that went like super viral, and then I was like, okay, what is happening here? And then the rest is history. So it was kind of that group of young people that found the sound, posted loads of videos to it, that kind of changed everything.
Did you reach out to them once and say like,
I have no idea who they are. I don't even know what they look like. They were just like, it was completely random, don't even know where in the world they're from.
Yeah, but greetings.
Greetings.
Go out to you. Do you think that was the right time for you, like musically, sonically, songwriting, and like also personal, to blow up like this? Why didn't this happen like 2 years before?
I think in hindsight, yes. I think that was the right time for me. I think I found my sound and what I wanted mm-hmm. to do around that time. So when Go did really well, I was like, oh, this is perfect, because this is the type of music that I want to do. So it wasn't like a random like EDM dance mm-hmm. track that like went viral and then I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to.
It's nice that you like those songs, but this is not what I want to do.
Exactly. So the fact that it was like a pop song and it's like mm-hmm. acoustically pop, like I was just like, oh, this is perfect, because this is what I want to do, and I can happily keep making this because this is what I'm making anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it happened when it did.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You said it that you really like kind of also, of course, maybe struggled to find the style of music that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then you also went, I mean, as I said it before, you came a long way. You seriously started at 16, right? With your mm-hmm. with your first EP. And then you went to Brit School.
Yes.
Alongside with Adele and Amy Winehouse and Jessie J. And you were also hanging on that wall. And
I
love
am.
This. I saw that in your like video. Mm-hmm. Any pressure about that? Hanging alongside those?
No, actually.
Good.
I think it's really exciting. Like, I mean, Adele and Jessie J and all the other people that went to the school, they graduated a lot before me. Like, they graduated, I think, in the 2000s, mm-hmm. like earlier 2000s. So it's nice to just be like on the board, the same as them, just because the school is such a like integral part of my journey and my career, because it really just helped me figure out that music was what I wanted to do and mm-hmm. how I could get myself into the industry. So yeah, I'm just happy to be on the wall.
Mm-hmm. You said it. How did that school help you build your style of music?
Well, it's a school that just sort of tells you, like, if you want to do this, mm-hmm. you can. And here's how you can do it. And here are the different jobs in the industry that you can do. And here's how you can go about doing it. And it's just very realistic and very real about how you can get into the industry. Like, I know there were some people that joined the school that initially wanted to be a singer, and then they left being like, actually, I just want to work at a label, or I just want to work at this. So there was like loads of different people that just kind of came there and figured out what they wanted mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just honing in on the fact that I wanted to be a singer. And then when I left, I was like, cool, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. And you also say that you struggled a bit to find your style of music because of the pressure from society. Because mm-hmm. as a black queer woman mm-hmm. doing pop music, of course, everyone, why ever, expects that you were going like R&B and whatever.
Yeah.
How did you find the strength to not like give in to that pressure, give up to the pressure, and not lose yourself?
I've always been a why can't I type mm-hmm. of person. So I've grown up listening to pop music. I love it. And I never really saw anybody that looked like me doing the type of pop music that I wanted to do. And my brain kind of just went to, well, why can't I? Because I like it. So why can't I do it? And I love R&B, but I just like listening to it. I don't want to make R&B music. So for me, it was quite easy, but it was trying to show the rest of the world, like, this is the music that I want to do, guys. Hey, mm-hmm. and I think it works. So when my following started to grow, it was really nice to get that sort of instant feedback from people being like, oh my gosh, we've been waiting for somebody to come here and like do the music that you're mm-hmm. doing. Mm-hmm. So that made me feel really good because I knew there was a demand for it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it happened, I was like, oh, phew.
Good. Yeah. Like full circle. It's like Absolutely. A moment, right? Sitting Absolutely. There and being like, yes, it worked out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wonderful. How did you develop your fine songwriting then? Came this, like, I think it came like with therapy, you also said it, but also after finding the style of music that you want to do?
I think, so the three main artists that I like love a lot would be India Ari, Ed Sheeran and Tori Kelly. India Ari, because she writes about like healing and affirmation type of stuff mm-hmm. and looking after yourself and loving yourself and who you are. And Tori Kelly, because she made really relatable lyrics, and I always felt like, oh my gosh, she's written this song for me. And I remember being like, I want to be an artist who other people feel that way about. Mm-hmm. Well, where they'd listen to a song and go, oh my god, she's gone into my head and she knows exactly what I'm going through. And Ed Sheeran is really good at like writing very specific and detailed lyrics but still very broad, so that you can like interpret it in whatever mm-hmm. way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So those three artists mixed together, I was just like, this is the kind of music I want to make. I want people to feel heard and seen when they listen to my music, and safe and like comfortable. So I just was like, I just always want to be as honest as I can and tell things honestly.
Yeah So good. I mean, that takes courage, that like makes you vulnerable, no doubt on that, but that's also like what we really want to hear. So are you the artist that you wanted when you grew up, and are you an artist that you always wanted to be?
That's a good question. Yes, I think I am, actually. I think if I was just like a young girl listening to my music like a separate person, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is nice. So I think I am the artist that I want to be and have always wanted to be.
Good. Congrats. That's good.
Thank you. That's awesome.
And then you also met Ed Sheeran and like opened up for him for his tour. Mm-hmm. How did meeting and working with Ed Sheeran help, actually?
Massively. I think that tour was just an experience of a lifetime because it was such big stages, like there were stadiums and his stage was round. So I had mm-hmm. to really learn how to like walk around and wave yes. at people and try and perform.
Yeah.
And I gained so much experience on just how to like perform to a stage, like on a stage that big, and mm-hmm. like how the sound travels and things like that. And Ed's just super nice. He gave so much like advice and wisdom and just told loads of stories. And it was just really like nice to know that somebody who I've always looked up to and loved is actually a nice person.
Yeah.
Because they always say don't meet your heroes, but he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's that nice guy. Absolutely. No, nothing annoying about Ed Sheeran.
No. Nope.
It's crazy.
Not
it's
at
crazy.
All.
What was the best advice that he gave you?
He just kind of said like, I guess it's almost generic advice, but it's just like, just believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing well. Trust you're where you're meant to be. And just kind of like, I guess it's generic advice, but when it comes from somebody who you've always looked up to, you kind of take it in a little mm-hmm. bit more. Mm-hmm. So I guess just to believe.
Yeah,
believe
but you can't hear that enough, right?
No, so exactly.
Keep telling that exactly. to people around you. Did you get a tattoo? Because you've got a lot of tattoos and I love it.
I do have a lot of tattoos. I didn't get any tattoos in Europe. No. I got too scared.
Really? Like Berlin is famous for their tattoo artistry.
I know. I think when I come back, because I'll be back in Berlin for the Sam Smith tour, I will get a tattoo then.
Yay!
But I was just scared. I was just like, I don't know.
Oh, let's do this.
And I have like my tattoo artist that I go to in London. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just like scared. Mm-hmm. But I definitely will get one when I come back.
Good. Do you have an idea in mind, something that you always wanted to do, or is there a really personal tattoo that you already have?
There's like a tattoo I want to get where it's like, it's hard to explain it, but it's almost like a hand. Mm-hmm. It's like a dripping hand, and it's holding a clock.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know.
Time's running.
I think it's just like I don't really know. I just thought it looked really cool.
Okay.
Something about like time.
Yes. Like live in the moment because time is like running. It's dropping.
Exactly.
It's living. Like, yeah. Time. You could make up a wonderful story about that one. That's really, exactly. And everyone is like, oh, it's so deep.
Exactly.
That's so deep. Exactly. I love it. Awesome. Yeah. You said it yourself. You have an amazing year 2022. And now it continues to be as great in 2023. I can't wait to see you opening up for Sam Smith.
Thank you.
I'm going to see Sam live for the first time in May.
You're
coming
gonna love
back.
It. It's gonna be so good.
Yeah, and seeing you, especially. I was like, I've got two friends coming with me, and I was like, you have to listen to Kat Burns before.
Oh my
and we
gosh.
Have to sing along every single lyric. You will love her, and they really love it. They were like listening to
oh
you.
My
like,
gosh.
Oh, she's really good. And I'm like, yes, I told you so.
Oh
so
my gosh,
now
thank
we've
you.
Got both stars in one concert.
Oh my gosh.
You said the last year, like the theme song of your stage of life was being emotionally unavailable, mm-hmm. with your EP. What would you say, what state are you now in 2023? What's the theme?
I am emotionally available. I've
Good.
Been with my partner for like 2 years now. It'll mm-hmm. be 3 years this year.
Wow.
And I am just in like a learning, healing, like unpacking stage of
Good.
My life. Of just figuring out what traits about myself I want to keep, what traits I don't. And just accepting that I am where I'm meant to be right now, and like just taking every day as it comes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And of course, like the last question, is there a debut album coming?
I hope so. I hope so. If not Yay. This year, then next year. But absolutely, there is one coming.
Good. No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. Not like specifically working on it, but working on new music.
Yes, working on new music and... hopefully one will come out this year. I pray.
Yeah, we can't wait. Thank you so much, Kat, for being here. Wish
Thank
you all the
you.
Best. See you in May.
See you in May.
Yay.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.